Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 11 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as David Price and myself, Ian Levesey, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. On today's show, we're lucky enough to be joined by none other than Jenny Breeden, creator of such fine comic works as The Devil's Panties, Con Artists, and Divas on Parade. This one's not for the kiddies, folks. Coarse language ahead and plenty of great stories as well. And also, apologies in advance for any lack of editing in this. I've got a wedding to go to tomorrow, so I need to get this out ASAP. Here now, Comic Timing.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 11 of Comic Timing, our second episode in double digits. Oh yeah, I feel it. And joining us today, we have our first celebrity, as it were, guest, and we'll introduce her in a moment here. But first of all, let me introduce my partner, the Man of a Thousand Podcasts. He is David Price.
Hello, folks.
Hey, what's going on? And this guest that we have is none other than Jenny Breeden of The Devil's Panties, of Con Artists, and many other things along the way.
Don't forget the gamers, the LARPers.
Oh, yes.
Give them their respect.
Yes, indeed. And the LARPers are in there as well. Jenny, how are you?
Oh, I'm getting a technological overdose.
Oh, yeah. That's what Skype's all about.
It tastes funny.
Is it like metallic or?
Little bit. I had to get the taste out of it. Well, that you'll if you've read, I updated a lot. What do they call them? These kids these days, the live journal thing. It's all there. And there's so many cartoons from it too, of just today and yesterday. Of I went out. My boyfriend got a car, and I went out with him for that. And then I got a cell phone. And
cell phone.
I'm so scared.
Do you have indoor plumbing yet?
Well, no. My previous cell phone is. I call it the brick. It's the most ancient.
Oh, nice.
It has three buttons, and I know exactly how to use all three of them.
That's awesome. So, my dad has a brick, and he's upgrading to the new version of the brick.
That's the one that doubles as a paperweight or a doorstop, right?
Basically,
Or you know, weapon. You can kill somebody. With
right.
But now I've got this new Sprint Pocket PC, and I, you know, it's smarter than I am. It's been training me how to jump through hoops. Anyway,
yeah, well, that works. That totally works. But nevertheless, give us a bit of your background. How'd you first get into the world of webcomics?
I'm gonna adjust this question.
Okay.
I'm gonna back it up to comics because that's what led me to webcomics. And I actually see a difference in between the what was the latest thing that somebody called it dead paper print press or something.
Oh. Okay.
Again, these kids these days. I recognize that people who read printed comics don't read webcomics and vice versa. Not usually. It's a different mindset, and it's a different attention span and culture and pocket bank account. So I've got two older brothers, and because of that, there was a lot of Conan and X-Men and DP7 and, you know, comics around the house. And I, my best friend in first grade, Eileen, her parents were professors, anthropology professor and a math professor at University of Virginia, so they had a lot of foreign language, Asterix and Obelix and Tintin and Pogo and Uncle Scrooge, and so I learned how to read with comics. You know, before I learned how to read, I was reading comics. Since my best friend in first grade, Eileen, was a girl who was introducing me to X-Men and everything, it never occurred to me that this was odd that I was a chick going into the comic shop bugging that overweight balding guy who's reading in the corner who is very upset that you're buying his comics from him. We annoyed the crap out of him. We'd fold all of our ones into origamis, and we'd bring our coffee can full of change because that's the only way our parents would pay us for, you know, washing the dishes and cleaning the windows. So now that I work at a comic store, whenever the kid comes in with his Tupperware full of change, I'm like, it's retribution time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my mom turned to me after high school and said, you have to go to college. God damn it. I decided to go to art college, and then I found a brochure that had comic books available at the college. And after I was looking at colleges. All the ones up north are cold. I found this college in the south, in Savannah, that was pretty and warm, and it had comic books, so I went to it, mostly because it was pretty and warm. So Savannah College of Art and Design had a sequential program. So I went there, still had no idea what I was doing. The first comic class that I had, I went up to the professor and said, you know, I've never drawn a panel in my life. I love telling stories and I love drawing pictures, but I've never tried to put that into panels. And he said, great, you've got one up on everybody here because they've all been drawing Spider-Man since they were five. So you don't have to unlearn the stuff that some of these X-Men comics are training the children. I can't remember his name is, but he draws everybody with horse with hooves. And, oh, no, it's horrible. Anyway, I started doing comic. And then whenever something funny would happen in the dorms, instead of writing about it in my journal, I would draw a cartoon about it. So up until the third year of college, I had a big stack of comic strips already done. And then my roommate, Chris Daly, who does stripteasecomic.com, he mentioned that he had fan mail. And I wanted fan mail, too. Because I knew that after college, whatever you do, when you graduate, you end up getting that day job to pay for student loans and end up getting sucked into that office job or the retail job or the waitressing job, and you never go back to what it is you went to college for. So I saw webcomics as a way to force myself to continue drawing and also get some of that feedback and support that all artists need, because we are all tortured souls who believe that nothing we do is enough and that nobody truly appreciates us, and oh, woe is the world.
Remember, kids, feed the artists.
One of the conventions we went to, we tried to get the convention to feed us because nobody showed up, so we didn't make money to buy food. So we all drew pictures of, you know, feed the starving artists, the attendees are starting to look mighty tasty. And I did a comic strip that was, okay, boys and girls, boobs are fat, save the boobs, feed the artists.
Nice.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, that's how I got into webcomics.
That is totally awesome. Now, what's it like now being on the other side of the counter, basically, you know, growing up and buying the comics and now being the one behind there, you know, dealing with the everyday life that is the comic book salesperson, as it were?
There's definitely the true and false to a lot of the stereotypes, mostly true, that, you know, the overweight comic shop owner who, you know, best, worst movie ever type of mindset, I do see a lot of that. I heard a story from a girl who had never been to comic conventions before, never read a comic before, and she showed up and said, oh, look, that guy's dressed as a Simpson comic shop owner. Oh, look, that guy's dressed as, oh, look, and we're like, hun, that's the actual guy. Nobody's dressed as him. We are him. He does exist. I am also seeing a lot of females that the anime and manga are bringing massive amounts of females and children into comics. It's terrifying me that no children are reading comics. They're reading manga and they're buying Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but we're kind of, our generation is dying out. Once we're, you know, the only guys who are buying comics are middle-aged businessmen. And someday they will die. So the webcomics are the next step. But as far as being on the other side of the counter, unfortunately, I am going to have to try to... I put in my notice at work. I turned to the boss and said, you're going to have to... I'll stay to train the next person, but I need to leave because I'm turning into that angry, bitter retail girl.
Oh, boy.
The one that's sitting in the corner, and you ask her to fetch something, or you ask her if you can check out or pay her or buy something, and she sighs and rolls her eyes and goes, oh, fine. So I have to get out because it's retail. It is comic shops. I love the comic books. I love the people. You know, most of the people. The percentage. You know, in 200 people, you're gonna get one asshole.
Yeah.
And we get it since we're in Atlanta, Georgia. So there's a very large population. So we get a lot of people in. And so once a week, we get an asshole. It turns out once a month we get a crazy. So there's not as many psychopaths in the industry as you may think.
I'm glad to hear that, actually.
Surprisingly. Now, it was at conventions. Again, if the larger the convention, the more likely you're going to run into a crazy or an asshole just because there's more people there. And last convention, we only got one asshole and one kind of crazy. Yeah, we got one crazy when I went to the Kineticon, which is a fantastic convention. I support anybody going to it because they do cater to webcomic artists. They support them and they advertise for them. They treat webcomic artists as, you know, they recognize them. Most conventions aren't recognizing web artists. So it's very nice.
That is certainly a good thing. Yes, indeed. David, you got any questions that you want to fire off?
I've been enjoying the forums. I see that your fans are. I enjoy reading forums just to get an idea as to, you know, how rabid a creator's fans might be, and you seem to have a few. It's not the kind of forum that, you know, there aren't too many people that are just flaming people or just being real rude. Everybody seems to really enjoy the work you do, and everybody seems to respect one another. I do have, so aside from the good that are forums, I'm curious to know, because I've been, and I must have missed it somewhere, I'm not sure if it's been said, where did the name The Devil's Panties come from?
I think I did a cartoon or two. It's very random. When my third year of college, I was interning in Atlanta, and my roommate at the time said, "Oh, I'll set up a website for you." He never did, but it did get the ball rolling. And I decided I needed a title for this collection of journal comics that I had done. So I made a list, and I asked my friends, you know, for titles and stuff. And DJ, who loves to name things, said, "Well, you know, if I ever started a band, I wanted to have the band called The Devil's Panties." She doesn't actually play an instrument, so there really was no guilt over stealing her band's name. But I put that on the list, and my choice was Reality's Victim. But whenever I grabbed somebody and said, "Hey, I have a list of names, what do you think? Which one do you like the most?" When I went down the list, without fail, unanimously, everybody would stop at The Devil's Panties and go,
"That makes sense.
What? I don't know what it is, but I want to read it. Doesn't matter what it's about." I've found that it works. It's after the fact that I found the usefulness of it. It does weed out anybody who is going to be offended, in the least bit offended, by Jesus smoking and the devil sitting there hanging out with them. Even though it's, you know, the comic strip isn't actually as risque as the title would suggest, it does weed out anybody who'd be offended. And it lures in, since it's a reality comic, you're not going to have very many people interested in that. Because if I see a reality comic, I'm not going to read it because I don't want to read somebody angsting over their soup or, you know, that they can't think of anything to draw at their drawing table and isn't that very hard, or how their girlfriend dumped them.
Straight out of MySpace.
Mm-hmm?
Straight out of MySpace.
Oh, MySpace. LiveJournal.
Yeah.
I have one. It's just I've been burned too many times by LiveJournal of, "Let me put my deepest secrets and thoughts about my roommates on the internet," because nobody reads that anyway. Question was so the title, yes. And so I have found that it lures in people who wouldn't normally read a webcomic because they think they're getting something naughty. And I trick them. I lie. I use deceit and trickery to lure them in. And then halfway through, they realize that they're not going to get any satanic porn. But by then, they're already hooked. It's too late.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Oh, yeah. I had one email from a guy who said he had found my webcomic when he was doing a search for something, but he really liked it. And I said, "You were looking for porn. And you found my comic, and you stayed." I was like that. That's the best flattery I ever got. Was, "Wow, I'm better than porn."
Well, the very first time I came across the site was quite a while back when you had a banner ad on Girls with Slingshots.
Hmm.
And that was, or it, I don't know if it was a banner ad or if it was a link that, that Danielle put up, but that was the first time that I came across it. And then I meant to bookmark it, and for whatever reason, I didn't do it that day, but I found it since then again, and now I've been going, and now I'm just, and with the most recent strip regarding the deck of cards, do you have a time frame as to when they might actually be done?
Well, I've got, I counted up what I've got on my computer, and I've got 32 of them on my computer. I'm finding scribbles that I had forgotten about around my room, because my room is not very clean. But I've got 20 more to do, and it shouldn't be that hard, but I've also got a lot of conventions coming up. So
right.
I'm going to say 2 months.
Okay.
For the deck of cards.
So my follow-up regarding the strip being reality-based and you having conventions coming up, do you ever get any sort of creative block, or is there, you always have things brewing that you just can't wait to put down on paper?
Oh, I always have creative block, constantly, nothing but creative block. No, a lot of the creative block, sometimes, doesn't happen often, but I will sit down the night of, when it's supposed to be up that night and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I sit down in front of a blank sheet of paper and I have no idea what I'm going to draw. Sometimes the best stuff comes out of that. Sometimes cop-out comes out of that. And I never know what's good. I never know what's good. One of the cop-outs that came out from that, which I cringed at putting it up online, I had no intention of putting it up online. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was ridiculous. But I put it up because I was desperate. And it was the two mosquitoes who bit me, who said, "Hey, she tastes like chocolate." And I was like, that's so stupid. And I've had people who said that that's their favorite one. And I'm like, wow, you're easy. And then I've had other ones, which I think I'm brilliant. Nobody cares, you know. So I never, I can never decide what's good or bad. One of them was the scroll button I never intended to put up, but my mom called me the next day and said, "I love that. You need to put it on the T-shirt." And my sister called me up and said, "Ew." It was pretty much a how-to manual for guys working their girlfriend's scroll button.
Oh, excellent.
Oh,
so, yeah,
okay.
Which tells you about my mom, that she was like, that's fantastic. You need to
my
do a T-shirt
of
it. Which, yeah, when I tell people, I tell the parents at conventions, I'm like, "Oh, don't worry, my mom reads this."
Yeah. Well,
my
hey, you know,
mother.
What date was that one on the scroll
thing.
Button?
I'll sift through it. We'll continue answering questions, but I'll pull up
great.
Some of my.
Yeah. No. Hey, I mean, support from the family. You know, I mean, in any way, shape, or form, support from the family is a good thing. So, and you just happen to have it in that form. So there you go. Oh boy. Now I completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh yes, oh, here we go. So how'd you meet the pirates?
It's actually in the comic strip. That's pretty much word for word. A woman came up to me at Heroes Con. I want to say 2 years ago. I can actually check the comics and see what date that was. Who jumped up in front of me and said, "Oh, you're not the girl who I thought you were, but I want to talk to you because of your boots. And here's an invitation to a party that we're throwing." And the woman was, she's since been in the comics. She's her name's Autumn, and she's one of the largest fetish promoters in the Southeast, and she's the definition of dominatrix. She's what dominatrix is based on. You know that my boyfriend met her, and all he could say is, "She's really tall." I mean, like flaming red natural hair all the way down her back, and diva, and she scares me. She's just very aggressive. Looking for the scroll button in here too. And so she invited me to a party they were throwing at a club. It was a bondage fetish fairy party, which sounded awesome because I wanted to wear fairy wings. And I said, "This is great, but it's Charlotte. I don't know my way around Charlotte." And so I wandered around the convention and overheard somebody say they were going to a bondage fetish fairy party. And so I ran over to the booth and said, "Hey, can I tag along?" And the booth was all decked out in pirate regalia. And the guy said, "Sure, meet us in the lobby. We're going to go there from there." And so that after the convention, I met up with him at the lobby, and he was still a pirate. He's got a bandana and skirt and lots of things, pouches and stuff on his belt, and And he said, hey, my friends aren't here yet, but I wanted to go put on my eyeliner in my hotel room, so can you help me put on my eyeliner? I was like, sure, whatever. And so I found myself in a hotel room that wasn't under his name with a guy who had a handful of empty rum bottles that he was trying to find a trash can for that I was going to help him put on his eyeliner. And something in the back of my head said, this could be a bad situation. No one knows you're here. He could kill you and no one would find out.
Oh, boy.
But he's also the kind of guy, if, you know, the Nigel the pirate is so laid back and so easygoing and so unthreatening. You know, he's not aggressive in that sense. Girls don't get a bad vibe from him. He's not necessarily trying to get into your pants, necessarily. He will do the playful hit on you, whoever you may be, but you always can feel like you can giggle and tell him to go fuck himself, and he'll be fine with that. So he's the kind of guy that he has been able to, when women throw themselves at him, he will say, fuck no, but thank you very much. And they will be flattered by that. So that's how I met. Nigel had straight men buying him drinks that night, and I decided that I was going to have to follow him around.
And that eventually led to what is now known as con artists.
Yes, well, he does. He's actually an artist. He has a website, NigelDeSade.com. It's linked on my link page. He does beautiful three-dimensional computer-generated what looks like part Geiger, part like tattoo artist. You know, just really interesting. And all of it is deeply philosophical. He's a philosophy major. So it's really interesting stuff. And he sells stuff at conventions. That's how he makes his living, is he'll set up his artwork at a convention. And so all he does for a living is go from convention to convention getting drunk and laid. So that is pretty much, he sent me a drunken email about these true stories of he'll be walking around a convention. He doesn't have a hotel room or a table or anything. He will poke his head into a hotel room. Two women will be there, and he has said to the two women, hey, we should fuck. And they say, oh, sure, what's your name? And that's how he got the hotel room.
And suddenly I have a completely different view on conventions.
Oh, you haven't been going to the right ones.
Apparently not.
Apparently not, yeah.
Frolicon.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. About how many conventions do you go to a year?
It's increasing. I'm trying to quit my day job. I'm hearing about better ones. I eased into it last year, the year before. Next year, I'll have about 15 conventions lined up.
Okay, so, and this is a nice variety of anime and comics and the works?
Kind of. Mostly comics. Previously, the Kineticon was an anime convention, and I had a really good time at it. I previously had not done well at anime conventions because, on one hand, it's usually anime conventions are about 18 or 16 and under, and I try not to sell my stuff to 16 or 15 year olds because it does have profanity, and it's really hard to tell because I'll have a girl walk up and she's in a Chobits outfit, so she's in pretty much lingerie and ears.
Oh boy.
And I'll start giving my pitch and then I'll stop and realize she has no tits or ass. And something in my brain will stop and go, this is a 10-year-old. And I'll shut up and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't read this comic strip.
Yeah, well, as a guy who frequents anime conventions, I know exactly what you're talking about, because 3/4 of the time, it takes me at least 3 seconds to realize just how old these people are. And once that happens, I have to rethink what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
The censor button is very much on constant alert when you're at an anime convention.
All right.
For the folks that cannot look at your convention calendar, will you be at Wizard World Chicago?
Yes.
Excellent.
My next convention, this weekend I'm gearing up for San Diego. I'm terrified. Right. And then 2 weekends after that is Chicago.
And I will be there.
Excellent.
I'm flying out, so yes, so I'm looking forward. So should I go ahead and buy Con Artists this weekend, or should I wait until the convention? Will you have copies with you?
No, yeah, I'll have them. They'll be at my table. Yeah, I have all my books with me.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
And just like that, you have a customer.
Yes. So. See, I'm going to make your load back home lighter.
excellent. You know, kids, first hit's free. You know, take, that's my pitch at conventions is take my card, go home, check it out. It's free. Peruse, you know, get addicted, come back and buy all my stuff.
Beautiful. Exactly. And you know what? Honestly, I got drawn in just by the name alone. And I'm one of the many people who has been just drawn in. Holy crap, it's called Devil's Panties. I need to check this out. And holy crap, there's a comic book about pirates. What mm-hmm. the hell? And yeah. then from there, you know,
oh yeah,
I'm in.
The name helps. Now that's I think Eddie Izzard had a comment that you know, it's a small percentage of what you're saying, but it's a large percentage of how you look and how you're saying it. And so it is kind of, you know, the name gets them in the door, but you also have to be able to keep them in. So the name helps for a lot of my hits. But I also have to back it up with regular updates.
Exactly. I mean, you could name yourself, you know, Super Ninja Squids, and if it's a piece of crap, nobody's going to come back. So,
yeah.
And we actually have one question that a member of our forum and someone who's been on our podcast before, Braxton, wanted me to ask you. Ask her if she ate at Savage Pizza when she had her signing at Criminal Records in Atlanta. Mm. The places are next to each other. The place is a Marvel Comics homage with pizza. I really wanted to come meet her that day, but we were out of town.
Yeah, no, I didn't eat at Savage Pizza. I do love Criminal Record and Little Five Points and Junkman's Daughter. Oh, if I won the lottery, I'd go shopping at Junkman's Daughter. Oh, but yeah, no, I didn't eat at Savage Pizza. I know it's good. No, I've been going down to the, let's call it the Diesel Pit or something in East Village. No, I live in East Village, down near East Atlanta. So that is definitely my normal haunt. I'm not allowed to go into Criminal very much because we are very different comic shops. That we're more of the Walmart of comics, and Criminal Records is very much the indie type of, you know, the record store comics. So.
I gotcha. Yeah. Well, how hard is it to shake the stigma of, oh, she's independent, you know, it's not really worth it, you know? I mean, there are plenty of people out there who just, you know, stick with the Marvel and the DC, and it's hard to really stray them over to the side of the independents.
Yeah, well, that's, and also with webcomics and comic books is that, you know, when I do find, because I do a lot of the Wizard conventions, and those are very much Marvel DC based, and so I'm just handing out my card. My card helps a lot with the it's not satanic porn quote. And I have to explain myself a lot at conventions. It's a webcomic. Go online. You can read it all free. I had one guy say, you know, how much is the membership? And I said, it's free. And he looked at me and said, why? If you're giving it away, then it must not be good. And on the flip side of that, I had a kid at a convention who picked up my graphic novel, which is 100 pages, perfect bound, you know, shiny cover. I had it printed with some of the online printing companies. And he flips through it real quick, and he goes, how much is this? And I said, well, it's $15. And he flips through it again, and he goes, why? Well, it took me 800 hours nonstop. Yeah. So you get both sides of it. Now, I did go to Mocha, which is one of the three big small press conventions, and it's in New York. And suddenly I had a culture shock of I was too mainstream for Mocha. My stuff was the covers were color, and they were shiny, and they were perfect bound. So I actually had a hard time selling my stuff because they were too pretty.
And there's the dog barking segment of the show, which is bound to happen.
I mean,
at least
somebody
once.
Has arrived at the house in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, or somebody is walking down the hallway of my 6th-floor apartment building.
Ooh, that
exactly.
sucks.
Yeah. All right. There we go. And you might want to reset what you were saying before, because chances are that was too loud to be actually stick in. So what were you saying?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, about
Mocha.
Mocha.
Oh,
I'm too mainstream.
Yeah, I'm too mainstream. I'm actually too mainstream for Mocha. In that, you know, my stuff is the covers are color and they're shiny and they're perfect bound, and so I ended up not doing well at the Mocha convention because I'm not indie enough for Mocha. No, it was the Mocha was awesome, but it was very much a culture shock. And so you definitely have the refreshing part of San Diego or Kineticon was that I actually didn't have to explain myself. I didn't have to say this is a webcomic, it's online, it's autobiographical, it's about my day, blah 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 blah. when people say, oh, it's a webcomic, okay, I know that, you know. So that is kind of trying to beat the customer over the head with what I'm doing, the differences of DC and Marvel and the mainstream and the indie stuff. We're getting more of an industry, so we don't have to solicit and petition the mainstream. The webcomic, and that's the other thing, is that the mainstream via the printed comics is that you kind of have to. I am now printed with Silent Devil. I'm in comic shops. I'm getting a comic book printed up each month and put in comic shops, which is insanely difficult. So I am jumping around on the internet saying, okay, all you guys who are reading the webcomic, go buy the book. And I'm having tons of people who have never bought a comic book before. They don't know how. They don't know where to go for it. They don't know how to order it. And so I'm trying to pull, instead of trying to pull Marvel and DC people, I'm trying to pull internet and webcomic people into the comic shops, and I'm trying to pull people from the comic shop into the internet. Because I know that working at the comic book store, I know that there is a huge chasm in between spandex and indie. There's the black and white scritchy lines, and people come up to me and say, oh, hey, who's the latest guy in Infinite Crisis, and who did they turn out to be the bad guy in the, you know, Crisis of Infinite Earths or whatever, and I look at them and I go, I don't read spandex comics. Which is a pain in the ass when I wear my Green Lantern t-shirt, I get so much crap. Like, yeah, Green Lantern!
You poser.
I wear it because it's my boyfriend's favorite shirt, because it makes my boobs look ginormous.
I think I have to get my wife a Green Lantern t-shirt.
Oh, boy.
I forget what the question was.
Well, no, that was pretty much the where we were going on that, because, now that I think about it, I guess, yeah, Mocha Festival is really much the quote-unquote underground, as it were. Like, I mean, you get all those, you know, folks in their, you know, independent, music shirts that have probably just stopped on by because they heard the word indie was going to be involved with this, and then they stopped wow.
It's amazing. It was an absolutely amazing experience in that it was my first time in New York City, and so me coming from Atlanta going, oh, I'm from a big city. Yeah, right. I'm hillbilly Hicks compared to, and so just the culture shock of the diversity, the insane diversity of New York, and then being able to see that at the comic convention where you've got the cute girls and you've got the indie guys and you've got these people who are cultural. They watch the news and they listen to NPR and they have a life and they have intelligence and they think for themselves, and they've chosen to read these comics based on their content as opposed to the cover or the publishing company or, you know, because Wizard said it's the latest thing. And so it's definitely, when you say alternative, I mean all these comics are as extremely diverse as you can get. So it's, you know, they weren't seduced by the devil's panties. So I can't say that I'm going back to the convention because it was very difficult for me, but it was worth doing just because it was very refreshing to see. My culture shock again of the comic of that convention was that most of the people there were talking to each other as opposed to racing through buying their number 4 variant special limited edition cast, you know, Spider-Man bust. You know, then that's all they're getting. No, these guys were actually talking to each other and exchanging ideas and information. So it was...
Yeah,
that's great.
It was interesting.
Hey, well, the conversation's what drew me into you in the first place. So there you go. Go figure. But yeah, because right away, as soon as I started learning more about the pirates, I'm like, yeah, this is mine. this is immediately purchased.
Yeah, it's this underground culture. I had a little old lady come into the comic shop the other day, and I pounced on her because I didn't want her to accidentally open up a wanted comic and be scarred for life.
Oh, okay.
What little life she has left. So I pounced on her and said, let me show you the good stuff. Let me show you Asterix and Obelix. Let me show you Bone. Let me show you Leave It to Chance. And because of that, she was astounded by the underground culture, the culture she had no idea was here. And so the pirates and the conventions and the convention culture is just mind-boggling. You know, you can tell I'm a child of psychologists in that I love watching people. And I love seeing the interaction, seeing that most of the world has no idea we exist. And that's fantastic. because I do not want them to know about Preacher. If they find out about Preacher, it's over. We're done for. That,
oh, crap.
I heard a rumor that they were going to make a Preacher comic, Preacher movie, and I said, no, don't let them know about, they're going to start burning, I love Preacher, they're going to start burning books if they find out about Preacher and Transmetropolitan and Wanted, and don't let them know, we have to stay small and underground so we don't get burned at the stake.
And you think in this day and age that wouldn't even be an issue?
Well, and they still, the comic shop owner in Texas who got arrested because he sold a Playboy to an adult, and the adult was a underground police officer, and the police officer said, you were selling adult material at an adult store, at a children's store.
Oh, God.
And I'm sitting there going, people still believe that comic, some people don't believe that they're printing comics anymore.
Yeah.
Which, compared to the heyday, they really aren't. Instead of millions, they're printing maybe thousands.
Right.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, this day and age, getting a comic that sells a million is like, well, that's it. That's your comic press for the rest of the year right there.
Well, and it's also $3 a comic.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Which can be a major pain in the butt sometimes, but.
That's why I put it there. Read it and put it back on the shelf.
There you go.
I'm researching. I am researching for the customer, for the benefit of the customer.
That's right.
Sure. Exactly.
I'm not researching the spandex comics because the customer already knows all.
Yeah, and then you can give them their simple nod or their simple thumbs up when they come there, and you know you're looking over the stuff and like, oh, All Star Batman and Robin, oh, Bone,
oh yeah,
there you go, your undercover agent. Oh my God, that's amazing. How varied is your viewership, as it were, for the comic? I mean, do you get emails from, you know, here and there, all ages and all that, or is
well,
it one
you know,
specific
it's,
group?
It's hard to tell with the internet, because you see those numbers, you have no idea what the numbers mean, where they're coming from, who they are. You're not looking into their living room. Same with the emails. I got an email from a guy who was inviting me to a convention. I said, that's great, if you can help me out with airfare and hotel, I'll go to any convention. And I set it all up with them, and then a week later I got an email from the same account of this guy saying, hey, I'm the older brother of the kid that's emailing you. He's 15.
Oh.
Ouch.
Oh, crap. So yes. I don't know. Based on emails, I cannot tell. But from, I got a Frapper, I think, account. It shows you where they are in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there are people in Brazil and in a lot from Canada, a lot from England, but also in Japan and in France, so it's all over the world. I also get on conventions, it blows my mind. At Mocha, I had a guy walk up who looked like the stereotypical baseball football player jock, khakis, baseball cap, huge shoulders, chiseled jaw, neck bigger than his head, and I was like, what are you doing here? And he turned to me and he said, I love your comic strip, it's fantastic. Everybody in my dance troupe thinks that it's fabulous.
My dance troupe,
that's
great.
Can I marry you? Oh, my God. and at one convention, I think it was a Boston convention, I had a Hell's Angels biker Harley Davidson guy come up to me, huge, you know, white beard and a leather jacket, and he said, I love your comic, it reminds me so much of me and my friends. And I'll have 16-year-old girls with green hair came up and said, oh, it reminds us of us. And I had a pair of 40-year-old women and housewives come up and said that it reminds them of them. And I'm sitting, oh, my God, we're everywhere. It's amazing. So there is some varied, just because, you know, I do cover the home ownership and, the, you know, getting pixie sticks and drooling over guys.
Pixie sticks.
Well, I'm sure as far as a lot of viewers in Japan, that's got to have to do with the whole panties in the title.
You think.
Are you able to tell? I mean, obviously, you said about the guy who said he Googled you, and you said you're obviously searching for porn. Do you know if you get many sites from either other webcomics links, or, I mean, just not even if anybody emails you, but just, you know, and where the visitors came from? Have they come from other comic strip sites, or?
Something Positive is huge. I get most of my hits from Something Positive. it actually, you know, and you can see where they're linking from. Most of them something positive, you know, Google and a couple of, you know, Keenspot. What's amazing about something positive, you mentioned earlier that, that my fans were kind of interesting crazy, not flamer crazy, but interesting crazy, is that what amazes me about something positive is that his fans are crazy crazy. I'm a fan of his, but his fans scare me. And he's a really nice guy.
Oh.
You really can't tell. My sister's hung out with him, and his comic strip is mean angry. It's fantastic, but it's crazy angry, and he's a really nice guy. What amazing.
It's always
me.
The quiet ones you gotta watch out for.
It's always the quiet ones. I was the quiet one.
I rest my case.
And that's the thing also. Most comic fans have been the quiet one at least once in their life. So those are always the ones that you got to watch out for, because you never know what they're going to be into, and you never know what they're going to put out there.
They're sitting in the back of the room reading their Robert Jordan book. Or in middle school, I had friends who, females that were bringing in novels, and they'd rip the covers off. They were reading porn. I mean hardcore, heavy-duty porn, and there was a little girl in the back of the room reading her novel. You guys don't know. You have no idea. Have you ever tried to read one of those romance novels?
No.
Oh, no. My God. That Playboy has nothing on them.
All I know is, like, the covers with the fake Fabio on it.
Oh, yeah.
The mirror in the room.
Oh, it looks ridiculous, but it is hard. I mean, you don't get this kind of detail from Playboy.
They don't leave anything up to the imagination?
No. There's words in there I never knew.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what it is. So, the quiet ones, you really have the quiet ones. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Yes, and just like in school, that guy who's reading the Spider-Man comic, there might be something underneath that Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
So, you never know. You never know. How close-knit is the webcomic community? I mean, do you guys talk to each other on a regular basis, or do you just meet each other at cons, or what's the deal with that?
It's a small world. I've actually found that the more cons that I do, you do meet, there is this, the people who go to the cons, the artists, they're the same artists that go to every Wizard convention. So I have this group of friends that I see once a month all over the country. You know, Chicago, I'm going to see my same group of friends that I'm going to go to dinner with. And then that it's definitely networking. That I've been to a couple of the conventions, I've seen a couple of the guys, I've hung out with them, and then I get recommendations from them for other people. For San Diego, I got into a booth with Sluggy Freelance, Order of the Stick, Partially Clips, couple of other people. That is just, I was like, how did I luck out on this gem of an opportunity? And it's because some of the other guys knew me, and they recommended me, and they said, hey, I can't make it, but you know, check out Jenny's stuff. And mostly, if you show up and you're not crazy, you bathe, and you have moderate people skills, then you'll go a very long way. And so the comic community is pretty friendly. You'll get your horror stories. You know, there's a small percentage. 1 out of 100 people is crazy. 1 out of 200 is an asshole. So there are the bad apples, but other than that, we're trying to help each other out because we know we're a small industry. We know that, you know, the mainstream could care less. And so we're trying to help each other out on if somebody's looking for a cartoonist. And I went to the first Dragon Con I went to, I showed my little folded over and stapled mini portfolio around to the artist. And one artist said, hey, there's a guy who's looking for stuff that your stuff would fit with. Go check him out. And so we're actually hooking each other up with jobs, and we're trying to help each other out. I'm not too deep into the brotherhood yet, so I don't know if there's any backstabbing, but so far I haven't seen any. It's been pretty, you know, that they hang out with each other. They put together, a lot of the Marvel DC guys put together studios together, and so they work with each other in the same studio, in the same apartment. And so there's a lot of exchange of ideas and exchange of readerships. A lot of times, some of the guys are actually fans of some of their coworkers. You see a little bit of a geeking out in with some of the artists, and it's very cute.
Knowing that a lot of the print version of comics. Marvel's competitor is DC or Dark Horse. Everybody that prints a comic book, the competition is another publisher. Do you, being in the webcomic community, are other webcomics the competition for webcomics, or would it be the print media?
Oh, other webcomics are actually advertising for other comics. You know, we're because webcomics.
It does seem to be
for.
A very friendly community. I mean, even other strips will reference another strip.
Oh yeah, no, I mean it's because it's not like somebody's going to read your comic but won't have time to read somebody else's comic because these are all free and the people who are reading them are at the desk jobs, who are in front of the computers, who have the unlimited time. Of I'm bored, let me read some of this stuff. So there is no competition in you know, oh, don't read this comic because you might like it. We really want everyone to get addicted, you know, promote the industry as much as possible because we're promoting ourselves. But as far as publishers, no, I haven't seen any of that. I have seen there's contracts that you sign with some websites. One, I think Girls with Slingshots has a contract with merchandising. She has a merchandising contract with a company. I know that Keenspot has you sign a contract that is you can't show your cartoons on another server because that is taking away from their business. It's not, you know, you can't advertise for another server. You know, you can't advertise for another comic. And as far as the publishing, you know, aspect of it, I'm still at the level of, you know, whatever works, and if you can get yourself published, do it. You know, I've petitioned my stuff to everyone, so they had their chance. No, haven't. You know, I'm sorry, guys, I don't got the dirt.
Aww. but you know what? That's actually kind of a good thing because it's nice to see that the webcomic guys are sort of sticking out for each other. You know, and that it's more friendly and not the whole, you know, grudge thing that some people might think about the comic industry in general.
There was a bit of a clarification at a webcomic panel at Kineticon that one of the questions was, you know, why do you guys rag on Scott Kurtz so much? And everybody was like, no, we. It's playful ragging. He's a really great guy that I've met him at a couple times. Anybody who's met Scott Kurtz, he's a great guy. But the thing is that he's also a guy that he will joke sarcasm, and so you can get gossip on the internet that the littlest thing, like I was worried about doing my story arc of my nemesis Gravy Boy because we have a playful competition going, and that it's very difficult on the internet to distinguish between humor and actual hatred, which I haven't seen actual hatred at all. The forums for the competition I'm in, Iron Man competition, those guys are very playfully horrific to each other, playfully just that, you know, they'll rip into each other, but it's all in jest. And that's very hard to bring across on the internet. If you do a sarcastic little joke, it's nigh impossible to read the sarcasm in typed words, and so it's easy to imagine that there is some gossip and dirt going down, but I don't think any of us are actually, you know, upset with each other.
And that's another thing that people need to learn. Sarcasm transfers over very, very difficultly when it comes to the internet they're words. So obviously these words can be taken many different ways before you find out which way they were actually supposed to be taken in the first place.
But LiveJournal drives me up the wall because you can, you know, that things can be misinterpreted.
And I think it says a lot about the person who's doing the interpreting, how they're taking it.
Yeah.
Will there be a collection of the What You Never Want to Hear in the Bedroom series?
That's in the books as I go. That was another, you know, cop-out. My sister calls me on them. The What Not to Say in the Bedroom and the Famous Last Words are very much, you know, a cop-out of filler, especially for the Saturday-Sunday, which... I've looked at my stats. Nobody reads comics on Saturday and Sunday. They're not at work. So, you know, put up the cartoon, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Here, let me just throw something up for filler. Now, of all of the comic strips that I've done, of the references to how-to guides for your girlfriend and Jesus and the Devil Smoking Pot, and of all of the stuff that I've done, my mom is a little uncomfortable with what not to say in the bedroom. Of all of them, that's what she's uncomfortable with.
Wow.
Even though, ironically, it is autobiographical, but ironically, I can't put any of my own experiences into the what not to say in the bedroom, even though I think people probably assume they're from me. I can't bring myself to put any of mine in there.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's one of those that suddenly, a bit too personal. No, can't.
I can understand that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some things that should not be on paper, you know, no. For your sake. You know?
My friends, Eileen can, she's amazed that I put so much out there, but my aunt has pointed out, I went through D.C. and got to visit my aunt for the previous convention, and my aunt pointed out that she recognizes that it's not really me, even though it is word for word some of my experiences. It's also done in a light that isn't really how I would react to it personally. The comics are based on what had happened, but it's what I wish I had said at the time. It's definitely my boyfriend's in here throwing stuff around. He's look at him. I don't know if that picked up. He's been playing with my new phone. So
as guys will do with a new
so
gadget.
Cute.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, he dropped his keys. I didn't know if that. Where was it? Okay, so my aunt pointed out that it's not necessarily me. It is how I wish that I had reacted at the time, and I do not have the balls to say and do what my cartoon counterpart does. An example would be that when I first met my boyfriend, actually, I slipped him. It's quite true that he came into the comic shop and he was a long-haired, effeminate Asian boy, which is my thing. I can't explain it. I just have a physical reaction to long-haired Asian boys. So
everybody has their taste.
And I talked to my coworker who has a foot fetish, and he agrees that he has no control over it. He's like, I recognize it's weird. I recognize that it makes no sense. But I have a reaction to feet. The same with me, that growing up in a small town that had 5 Asians in it, I would, my body, my head would move and look at the Asian guys, and I did not understand why. Anyway, which Andy Lee is gorgeous. Okay, turning that off. where was I? Oh, yeah, so the first date that I went on, I gave my future boyfriend, I gave the hot, effeminate, long-haired Asian boy my card to my webcomic, and I said, my email's on there, read it if you're still interested, give me a call. And we went out to dinner, and he turned to me and said, you know, I almost didn't ask you out because I read your comic, and you yell a lot in your comic strip. And I said, yeah, and he was like, you know, in reality, you don't yell nearly as much. Later on, the comic strip was, you can't call yourself a feminist because you've stopped yelling at people. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's because I'm getting laid on a regular basis. That'll mellow anybody out. But yeah, the difference between the webcomic and my personal, you know, yes, the webcomic is my personal life, but it does have a separation from me personally, because it is very much how I wish I could react and how I wish I could act in that situation. I'm also a lot taller than I draw myself. I have long hair. I don't look anything like my cartoon anymore, because I started drawing the cartoon in college, where I was surrounded by 6 and 7 foot tall people. So I thought I was short and fat and round, but it turned out they were just extremely tall and thin. So when people meet me, they're like, where do you get off drawing yourself as this short, little, stumpy, red-headed, angry, stompy girl when you're, you know, you're 5'6" and you weigh 140 pounds, and you know you have long, dyed red hair. So yeah, as far as me saying, you know, oh, I can't put that in the comic because it's too personal in an autobiographical comic strip that isn't really that personal. It's hypocritical.
Well, that's another thing also. Like, autobiographical is never truly autobiographical. You know, I mean, there's especially when it comes to comics, because I've read a couple that were quote-unquote autobiographical, and I knew that there's exaggeration here, you know, there's something that was not said that really wanted to be said there and all that, but it's close to the original, but again, there's that comic aspect to it.
Well, and
that
also how you
will get in there.
How you saw it is different. You know, you talk to your siblings, if you have siblings or friends, and you say, hey, you remember that time that, you know, Eric got hit by the bus? He flew 5 feet in the air, and my friend goes, no, he got sideswiped, and he fell over. He didn't fly, you know, that it's what you saw, what happened is very different from what you saw, and that's different from how you remember it. You know, you ask, I had a psychology class, and how you describe it is very different on how someone will remember it and how someone will interpret it. And so on one hand, you know, when I have a cartoon, I adore when I run into other webcomic artists, because twice now I've been able to have cartoons of the same occurrences, and she'll go home and do cartoons of the same thing, but in her version. The latest has been In the Puddle, and, you know, when we meet each other, and I think we overheard a conversation. I only heard half of the conversation. So I did my cartoon strip about me going, you know, oh my God, that's so crazy and amazing. And then she did her cartoon strip of them having the full comic strip and me just sitting there eating sushi. And so it is very much, you know, the separation between interpretation and actual word for word documentation. I haven't been able to find the scroll button cartoon. I've actually been combing through here. It doesn't exist anymore.
Aw. Oh, well. Well, it exists in David's heart.
It is heart. Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes, exactly. Hi-o! Oh, man. Going back to the world of the fan for a moment, there ever been something that was just so out there, so insane, that somebody that either was a fan of your work or somebody that you, you know, met at the comic shop did, that it's just always sort of stuck in your mind as this is the most insane thing ever? Because I know you met plenty of, kooky, crazy people in the past, obviously, with the comic and all that. That sort of explains that. But is there one particular moment that was just so out there that it will always stick in your head?
There was a moment that I said, this is the most surreal moment of my life, and I can't figure out how to put it into a comic strip. I never did figure out how to put it into a comic strip. I think it ended up, he put it in a comic strip. It was with the pirates that I was sitting in the situation going, well, this is Dragon Con, you know. If you've ever been to Dragon Con, there's rooms you can go into and see every single different thing you would ever wish to, want to, or never wanted to see. And so things happen, you know, that life takes you places that you don't intend. There's definitely surreal and there's odd and it really depends, because I never thought that my life was interesting. My life actually isn't that interesting. It's just how you interpret it. You know, I had a whole strip on gardening, that is in the comic books. It's that I planted some vegetables and then was too excited to wait for them to grow that I wanted to eat them right now. So I did a cartoon strip of me sitting in front of a plant with a knife and fork going, grow faster. And it's not necessarily something that is odd or interesting or exciting that's happened. It's just how you interpret it. A huge example of that is that I never thought that I had an odd childhood until I got to college and saw other people's lives and other people's families. And I said, oh my God, you're all freaks. And much later I realized that it's really, I'm the one that's a bit more of the unique one. Growing up in the middle of the woods in a seven-person family, that the parents are artists, hippies, and so, you know, my brothers are learning how to drive on a tractor, and my brothers are having, you know, hitting each other over the head with sticks in their lacrosse gear, and just, like, things that I think is quite normal. So as far as the most weird thing that I've ever seen in my life, it would really depend on who you asked and what you would define as weird, because I'm sure that a lot of people would say that answer would be, oh, my parents, my house, you know, me on a sugared up, rum-infested, coffee-induced sleep deprivation of insanity. Most surreal moment. Yeah, that would be Bluebeard drawing a puppet on a certain part of his body while we were having a philosophical discussion on, I forget what the discussion was, but we were having an interesting intellectual discussion, and I was trying to ignore the fact that he was drawing on his appendage while concentrating on the discussion, and Nigel was on the hotel bed next to us, entertaining a lady, let us say. And Nigel actually kept interjecting in the discussion because he is a philosophy major. And halfway through this, Bluebeard yells, "Nigel, would you stop, you know, participating in the conversation? You're going to give the poor girl a complex." Because he was not paying attention to the woman that he was with at the time as much as he should have. So yes, that was that moment of, wow, I don't think this is normal.
Well, I can certainly say that I've never come anywhere close to having a situation like that happen in my life. Oh, my God.
And,
wow.
And it's not me. It's just who I run into.
Yeah.
And who I choose to document.
Hey, your life is only as interesting as the people you know. And, you know?
And you're like a magnet for these people.
Yeah, no, I'm the quiet one in the corner taking notes. I'm not necessarily the one doing and acting and saying these things, but I'm
the little
girl.
No, but you're the quiet
one.
You're the one we have to look out for.
Yeah. No, I'm,
as we've mentioned, yes. Exactly.
No, I've had friends.
Watch out for the quiet
My friends will tell a story, and at the end of the story, we'll all laugh, and you'll hear a click because I've had the tape recorder on. And that's from the broad comic story arc was all from one night hanging out with some friends, and I turned on the tape recorder and put it in the middle of the table and just sat back.
that sounds like the beginning of some of our recordings here on Comic Timing, where the next thing you know, those are the bloopers for the episode. Oh, man.
Before I forget, as far as, in case any listeners, since we've talked about Devil's Panties mostly and con artists, where else can people see and hear and read all about Jenny Breeden?
Jenny Breeden? Wow, that's a... I had no idea.
Who is this Jenny Breeden you speak of? Oh, wait, no, never mind.
No, I do... Let's see. The couple of things I do. The Con Artist is a book that's only in print. It's not online at all, so you have to order it off of the either NigelDesaad.com or TheDevilsPanties.com. I also have... And then there's the webcomic, The Devil's Panties. And then I have, coming through the publishing company Silent Devil, that's in comic shops right now. You go into your comic shop and you ask them, "I want my panties." And you can get the third book is coming out next week of The Devil's Panties, which comic book form, which is actually I've started from the beginning and I've redrawn everything, introduced some new characters, elaborated on a couple of stories, added more Jesus and the Devil, more Angel and Devil Girl Jenny, and added more cliff notes and footnotes and paper dolls, and so given you some incentive to actually buy the printed book because there's stuff in the printed book that you cannot find on the internet. And that's in the comic shops. And I also have a LARPing comic called Geebas on Parade. Geebas. Which people have been calling Geebas. I guess I've not phonetically... it's short for goblin. A goblinoid.
Save me, Geebas.
Geebas. Which I found out later, Geebas is actually, I think, Chinese for dick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So more visitors from Japan.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, but they're thoroughly confused because that's actually a LARP comic. That's running around the woods and hitting people with padded sticks, which is, ooh, so therapeutic.
That is a fun one, too.
That reminds me of a video I saw online of these dudes who got together and reenacted Secret Wars in Marvel Comics. And, oh,
really?
Man,
I haven't seen that. I've seen the Reno 911 episode where they go to a call that a DM has either shot the guy with an arrow or he hacked him with a hatchet, which turns out the guy playing the DM is actually one of the writers, I think, for Reno 911. And the thing is, I'm sitting there going, I know those guys. This isn't a parody. This is a documentation. I know these guys. I've been over to their house, and that's exactly what they look like, and they talk like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the comic shop owner, they exist. This isn't the 40-year-old virgin. I was laughing louder than anybody else at that movie because I knew this wasn't a parody. This was a documentation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I was when I saw it in the theaters for the first time, because I'm like, I know those people. I've met those people. They exist. It's not just Steve Carell playing a part.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man. And I mean, also, and I was the guy sitting in the theater also, because when he has to start giving away his toys, I'm like, oh, you poor boy.
Yeah.
You poor boy. How can you be doing this? No. Because we've all been through that at least once in our lives.
The reason he has them is because he could never give them up. And why would he be able to give them up then? And I know guys, I know guys who would choose the toys over the girl. I have had discussions, perfectly well-adjusted social guys, but they're into the video games. Now, this is the next geekdom that actually scares me, the video games, the computer game guys. And this is my boyfriend, is that side of geekdom, the LAN parties. One guy said that this girl he was dating came over, and she wandered off when he was playing a video game. And when he went looking for her, she was in the bedroom. She had hooked up the video game to the cable in some way. I don't know what the lingo is, but it was some way in that she knew computers and she knew games and technology that blew him over so much he wanted to go get a ring and marry her right there. And I said, wait, so let me get this straight. If she was in the bedroom in a teddy, that her hooking that up to playing the video game was hotter than her in a lingerie in a teddy? And he said, what's a teddy? And after that, no, he knew what a teddy was. No, he just misheard me. But he sat there for a minute. He goes, I'm thinking. I don't. And it is, you'll ask a gamer guy, and he is more turned on by a girl who games than a girl in a negligee.
Well, that would be like, you know, the comic book fan geeking out that his, you know, prospective girlfriend knows what Transmetropolitan is, or knows what, you know, his favorite comic book is, and has been collecting it most of her life. And
well, Transmet is a thinker, though. No, the ones that scare me are the Spider-Man and the spandex, the Marvel DC nuts.
Yeah,
that's, I don't know why a Transmet. No, Transmet fans scare me too. Never mind. That's a different kind of crazy. Now I say this being a Transmet fan and being an Invincible fan, and I'm a geek. I LARP. I read the comic books. I get into philosophical discussions about how Superman would shave. And I've been there, and so I get to tease them because I'm one of them too. So I'm teasing myself. I'm just as much of a geek. I have had my geek moment. I have made a drooling fanboy idiot of myself, stuck my foot all the way in the back of my mouth, and then done a cartoon about it and put it up for thousands of people to see. I called Bo Duke old. Hot, but old. Anyway, I didn't do a cartoon about that one, but yeah, I looked him in the eye and said, gee, sir, you know, you're getting hotter the older you get.
Aww.
I said, no, wait, I mean, you're really like hot. That. Oh. Crap.
Oh, man. And yeah, well, that's sort of like how I felt when, after I took my girlfriend to see Batman Begins, she turns to me and said, wow, that was pretty good. Maybe I'll go to your comic book movies from now on. And I'm like, I love you.
I was leaving V for Vendetta, and these two yuppies behind me, the girl said, wow, that was really good. You say that was a comic book? And the alpha male football player turned to her and said, no, darling, that wasn't a comic book. That was a graphic novel. I about died.
Oh, man.
You're an idiot.
And yet another one of those guys who thinks that he's going to impress somebody by, you know, saying, oh, no. Ew, in issue number 73, it was, you know... Oh, dear God. Some things just don't need to be said. Although, I got to admit, I was one of the guys who... The second time I went to see X-Men 3, I was one of the guys who was sitting in the crowd watching everybody file out before the credits were over. Like, suckers.
Suckers.
Yeah. And one person turns to me at the end, and she's like, should we be telling them? They're just like, I'm just like, no, they should know the internet.
If they didn't get the secret handshake, if they didn't get the memo, then they shouldn't be staying. It was no surprise. Come on. Nobody dies. But they brought back friggin' Bucky. Don't give me that bullshit. Nobody dies. They brought back Bucky. It was all over. When I didn't actually read it, but they brought back the first Robin. Is that right? Or it turned out to be
No, they brought back Jason Todd. The one who was voted.
Really? They voted. They said.
They voted for him to die. And they brought him back.
No, all bets are off.
Ben is still dead.
And Gwen Stacy's still dead.
Not for long.
Maybe, unless, of course, you count her clone, which is still unaccounted for. So.
And there has to be a DC character that's still dead.
Nobody actually. When they brought back Bucky and Robin, it was off. No.
Wait, the original Steel is still dead, right? Yeah, he's still dead, Steel. And I'm trying to think.
Yeah, they went in the Wayback Machine for that.
Yeah, Vibe. Vibe's still dead.
Who is Vibe?
Vibe was he was a member of the Detroit era Justice League of America. It was when Detroit didn't have their own Justice League. It's just that in between the Justice League by Giffen and DeMatteis and after the satellite era, JLA, they had the league was formed by Aquaman, and after he left, it was pretty much taken over by Martian Manhunter, but you had Vibe, Gypsy, Vixen, Steel, not sure if Elongated Man was around for most of it, but
he was there.
It was just trying to jazz it up a little bit because there wasn't much going on as far as the Justice League was concerned.
I don't know about you, I'm waiting for Justice League Des Moines. I mean, I think that would actually be like one of the most interesting books.
Well, have you guys seen the Justice League cartoon that's out now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely adore. They do the fan service. They do the background. You know, in the background of the scenes, you can see all of those characters that were big characters that you thought you were the only one who remembered.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Nemesis,
it's fantastic.
Vigilante. Yeah, no, it really is.
In that last episode of the not this past season, but the season before that, the one before the Batman Begins. The Batman Beyond episode. I'm sitting there with a friend of mine. We have it on pause on the replay TV. And we're just like, okay, know that. Who's that? Who's that?
Are you playing?
Know her.
The JLA drinking game.
Yes. Yeah. Whenever Batman looks at you blankly, take a drink.
You can always tell the alcoholic. I want to be Superman.
Oh man. Yeah. Whenever Superman gives you that smirk that says, "I'm Superman."
When Batman gives the smirk. That's. Anyway, okay, we're getting off our geek.
Yes, we're saying, yes.
We're geeking out, and you know what? That's all right. That's
also,
right.
Jenny's forearm's going to go ballistic. What's she talking about spandex for?
Spandex! Jeez. I don't think she was in a spandex. No, they're going to go ballistic because I didn't know who Vibe was.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
I get geek points taken away from that.
No, Peter Rios from Comic Geek Speak is going to be upset that you didn't know who Vibe was. No, I kid. Hi, Peter. How are you? Anyway, what comics? I mean, I know that you read a lot of them in the store, but what comics do you read currently?
None. Unfortunately, you know, if you like indie, you know that indie never updates on time. Indie never comes out on a regular basis. You know, the stuff I've been trying to get my niece and nephew into Scary Godmother. I adored Castle Waiting when it was coming out. You know, a comic owner got me into Finder, which a big girl, you know, Carlos Big McNeil is the artist, creator, publisher, producer, distributor. She does everything. She is her own flying monkey. And she's just had a kid, so she's, you know, she's my idol, that she does it all. But as far as the comics that I'm reading right now, I've been trying to keep up with Ex Machina, because it's a really good idea, but unfortunately, I get bored easily, and if there's too many words, there's too many words in that. I'm sorry, it's too smart for me. And I love Invincible because he doesn't take himself too seriously. The latest, the previous She-Hulk arc, story arc, was really nice because she...
Yeah.
The thing is, there's nothing funny in funny books anymore. A Marvel in DC, and a friend of mine at the comic shop who is a big Marvel fan, you know, he complains that they don't, they're just too drama. You can get too drama. You gotta have a laugh or something in there, because
that's why we have Next Wave. That's why we have Next Wave, because Next Wave is the most brilliant thing to come out in the past couple of years. Warren Ellis is a mad genius. A mad genius. Oh, and this is the most interesting thing. DC Comics came out with this past week. I just had to pick it up just to see what it was like, because they have their imitation of Next Wave that just came out called The Next.
Superman fought the group that was the parody of The Authority.
Yeah.
That was, whenever they do that kind of, oh God, The Authority, I adore. We got a cat and we named him Apollo. not based off, you know, based on, you know, because our other cat is a black cat. Not necessarily called Midnighter, but we were definitely, oh, they're so cute. Anyway, I mean Midnighter and Apollo, not the cats. Oh, and that's, again, something.
I'm sure the cats are cute, too.
Sure they are. I'm not an animal person. And this is, I stunned a roommate because I upturned a glass of water on the cat who was meowing at me. And he was like, those were your babies. I'm like, no. And this is, don't tell anybody. I'm not a cat person.
Oh.
Me neither.
People have gotten so, because I do the cartoons about the cats, because they are, you know, I respect them as individuals, that they have personality and they're awesome. But I grew up on pretty much a hippie commune farm where animals were outside. If they want, you know, you fed them once a day, and if they wanted more, they'd go out and kill it. You didn't take them to the doctors.
My dogs couldn't do that.
We used to have a groundhog problem. Then our dog had puppies. We ain't got no groundhog no more.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
The downside is sometimes they drag their tidbits to the yard and play with them.
One of my dogs didn't kill it, but found a dead bird and decided to bring that home. Our two dogs are too ladylike to want to bother to get their paws dirty. And then we do have three cats that are pretty much, their home is the basement, because my wife is allergic, so we kind of have to keep them separated. But
keep your cats in the basement.
Well, but it's not in any sort of negative way, or they don't bang on the door with a cup saying, you know, feed us, get us out, warden. I mean, everybody's well behaved, and I mean, they're...
That sounds like a slogan, actually. Keep your cats in the basement.
I did get one of the most polite hate mail that I ever got. Was I got a envelope in my P.O. box, and in the normal sized envelope was a very small sticker that was a PETA sticker, and it said, "Pigs are friends, not food." And I said, why did somebody send me this? And I realized that previously, a couple of days earlier, I had done the cartoon where I go home and my brother has this pig that, you know, the pig was saying food, and I said, "You will be." And I've had friends that, you know, their DJ's father got a pig and said, "Do not get attached to it." This was in middle school. So she named it Dinner. And I think the story went that when the truck came to take the pig to the slaughterhouse, the pig did not get on. So in middle school, DJ had to help her father slaughter the pig.
Is,
again, the most badass woman I know. And so I come over to her house and I say, "Hey, where's dinner?" And she says, "Oh, we moved them." And we go up to the house and go into the fridge, and she opens up the fridge and there's all these bricks of little tinfoil, and she goes, "Dinner's good." I got the little letter saying, and so I wrote on it, "Pigs are friendly food." Because, and I've had them as pets. They're awesome. Pigs are the most awesome things ever, because they're intelligent.
But they are tasty.
But they're really good.
As a non kosher Jew, I can certainly say, bring on the bacon.
That's right.
Bacon.
Same
so,
here.
Yeah, no, I do adore the cats, but I still recognize them as animals.
But see, I don't know if cats are tasty. And again,
let's not find out.
Right, thank you.
KFC.
Let's not find out.
Oh, so, yeah, and I have a Chinese restaurant that I've started to frequent, but I haven't strayed from the ribs.
All you comic timing listeners out there, we apologize profusely if you happen to own a pig at home or a cat.
I own a pig. We had Elvis. Oh, I need to do cartoons about Elvis. He was Vietnamese potbelly pig. Awesome. He was so cool. I still enjoy my bacon. Oh, he looked just like Elvis in his later years. The jowls and the droopy sack. I mean, his stomach dragged on the ground. It was awesome. Fabulous. He just.
Am I the only one that finds it really awesome that he still ended up with a number one single like years after he was dead? Because of that remake they made of Little Less Conversation.
We have an Elvis cardboard stand-up at the comic shop that we sell, and we have to sell it for more than any of the other stand-ups because Graceland charges so much and gets such a huge percentage.
Oh, man.
Good God, he's the king. He's the king.
Oh.
Yeah, bringing it back to Devil's Panties.
Devil's what?
Yeah, who? What? Where are we?
Who are you?
I don't even know anymore.
You mentioned Flying Monkeys and earlier Pirates. Is there a Devil's Panty primer or anything like that where listeners can find out as much as they can about it, or should they just go to the forums and see if anybody there can answer any questions, or should they inundate you with
you
emails?
You mean as far as after you've read the comic strip and is still going, you know, what's with this?
And
Darcy
you're still
girl?
Scratching your heads, or, yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got some people go to the forums and say, hey, you know, listen, you probably covered this. What's going on with this? The forums, I wish I was staying as much on top of the forums as I could be, but conventions are
it is the season.
Knocking me over. So I do get emails, and I'm more than happy to explain stuff on emails. I'm not getting to all the emails that I should be. I try to keep things self-explanatory, but again, when it's your own story, it's hard to see the other side of the glass. It's hard to, you know, my mom is gone, hun, I didn't get that one. But as far as the questions and answers, the email or forum, but I do try to make it self-explanatory.
It shows. And, it does.
Yeah. And the email address is jennybreeden@gmail.com for anybody who does want to contact Jenny. But now, do you do commissions at conventions? Or?
Yeah. A lot of the comic artists that go to conventions make their money at conventions by doing sketches. And they charge, depending on the artist, they charge between $10, $15, $50, $100, and $200, depending on the level of the artist. But I don't know how to draw Inuyasha. I don't know how to draw Spider-Man or Superman. A guy came up and asked me to draw Doom, and I said, but how do you embody the essence of Doom? Do you want me to draw, like, a leveled castle? It took him, no, I want you to draw Doom. Well, do you mean the Doom song from Invader Zim with Gurr? What do you mean? What do you mean Doom? I don't get what you're talking about. It took me, like, 5 minutes to realize. Oh, you mean Dr. Doom. Oh, the guy. Oh, okay, so I drew this kind of stick figure of Doom, and then me singing the Doom song, and him saying, quit it. That I don't know how to draw the spandex way, you know, that you've seen. I can't draw. That's why I'm drawing my own stuff. That's the... So,
Hey, I got to say, your Catwoman in the flame boots is just awesome.
That was a commission, yeah. That was a friend in Texas asked me to do, you know, the Catwoman, which I had to color it because somebody was saying, Jen, it doesn't look like she's wearing anything. Which that does have to be pointed out to me every once in a while. It's one of those. Jen, did you intend for that angle to look like you're doing that? Ooh. Oops. Sorry, Mom.
Well, for those folks out there looking to get perhaps pictures from you, around how much do you usually end up charging for your...
For the sketches? Yeah, I mean, I'll just do a little Sharpie doodle of Angel or Devil. The only thing with that makes my stuff different is that I am selling my books, and I'm the only one there. So, you know, most of the guys have girlfriends that are their booth babes, and they do the paperwork and the selling and the advertising, and they sit there in the back and just draw. Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend to do that for me. I've tried to get the boyfriend to do that, but he keeps insisting that he has a job, which I get health insurance from. So I'm really not complaining about that. God, yeah. I love California companies. But as far as getting a sketch, I'll scribble something out. The sketch is fine. I'll scribble out a quick Angel or Devil, but mostly because I'm the only one at my booth, so, I'm trying to run it too. Mostly that I've done in the past as far as getting a sketch, I'll draw a quick Angel or Devil girl if you hand out my cards to passers-by. And that's worked out really well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just for that experience. And as far as commissions go, I used to have the option of having a $20 comic of your, you know, that's orchestrated by you, your idea. You send me the script, and I'll draw a comic for $20. And I had to pull that down because I got a guy who gave me the $20, emailed it to me, and said, okay, here's the script for this 24-page porn that he wanted me to do. And I had to explain to him comic strip was different than a comic book, that I was talking about four panels, and he was talking about 400 panels.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I work at a comic shop. We sell adult material. You know, I have to restock the pea soup and rear entry and the really interesting titles like Dildo. You know, and I love me some Bondage Fairies, and Small Favors is very cute. But what this guy sent me made me nauseous, and that's hard to do. Hippie girl grew up with nude paintings, and you know, so I had to pull that commission down. Yeah, that was a little gross.
Yeah, that sounds like that just sounds like something you don't see every day. To say
well, which you'd be surprised, because with the title "The Devil's Panties," you'd think that I'd get a little bit more either hate mail or gross mail or something, and surprisingly everyone's really nice. Now the statistics online is more like 1 out of 200,000 people are crazy that I get. I have gotten one or two slightly, I think in the past 4 years I think I've only had two weird requests, which is really good considering I'm up to 10,000 hits a day, and I've been doing it for 4 years. I only had one creepy guy, which is, I guess I'm saving them up for later. Somebody's going to come to my door one day and in Saran wrap, and you know, I'm saving up my crazy for one really weird guy, which will make a great cartoon.
Well, that's see, and there you go. Also, because that can totally be a slogan too. The Devil's Panties. Only one of you is crazy.
But he's.
Is it you?
But hoo-wee.
Yes, exactly.
Only one of you. It might be me. I think I'm the crazy one. Could be I'm the creepy man. Stalker.
Have you ever had any requests from like maybe the more well-known companies or anything along those lines? Like, have you ever had like maybe like a like something like an Image Commerce or something like that contact you or anything? Along
oh,
those
I
lines?
Wish.
No, okay.
I sent
right.
in.
So you're still small fry.
I'm really small fry. Yeah. No. What's amazing about the webcomics is that there you do have a fan out there somewhere. Now he may be in Germany. You know, your mom doesn't think you're famous, and my brother turned to me and said, "You know, you're not famous, right?" And so, it's both humbling and it's a roller coaster ride, because at one point you're at a convention where people are going, "Oh my God, you're Jenny Breed, and will you sign my bra?" And that's awesome. And then you get home, and nobody could care less, and you know that you get the high and low of, and then you run into Sluggy Freelancer, you run into PvP, or you know, Real Life came up to me the other day and said, you know, "I can't believe we tied." And I said, "I know, I'm not in the same category as you." You know, you have your ego boost, and then something brings you back into line. It's a webcomic. Nobody, you know, it's other people are getting 100,000 hits a day. I'm getting my nice little 10,000, which is fine. And I've got, let's see, I sent in my application to a couple of different publishing companies before Silent Devil approached me. I sent it in to, you know, Image and Slave Labor and Top Shelf and all those. And one of the guys emailed me and said, "I love your stuff. I have your book. It's fantastic work. It's not really what we're looking for." And that's the thing between webcomics and printed comics, is that the printed comics, you have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get something printed up. That's physical. That's, you have to pay somebody to get that done. And so suddenly people are looking at marketing. They're looking at target groups. They're looking at, you know, that they have to get that money back. So it becomes a business. You know, it becomes, we have to look at the censors, and we have to look at, you know, advertising. We have to look at the control groups. And what's your target audience? I don't know. You know, I've gotten, you know, green-haired 16-year-olds and Hells Angels and football players. I have no idea what my target audience is. And so that's the, you know, that's the balance between print. And then the webcomic is everything and anything. But the nice thing about the webcomic is you build up your readership, and then you can go to the print, to the publishing companies and say, see, people are reading it. I don't know who, but they're out there.
Wow, that sounds like what I sort of kind of maybe want to do with these podcasts someday. So, like, hey, 300 people know who I am. Maybe someday there'll be more. Hello.
Well, what's amazing about it is that you do it because you want to, and you do it because you think it's interesting.
Sure.
And I do these cartoons that I think are, some of them I think are stupid, some of them I think are weird. Some of the cartoons that I do, you know, I think that, oh my God, I'm such a freak, I'm the only person who's ever done this before, and I'll put it out into the internet, you know, I'll put it out into that big black void. I have no idea if anybody's looking my way or if anybody's out there, and then I'll get this email of, oh my God, that's so me. Oh, I've done that exact same thing. That's my sister, that's my, you know, my mom did that the other day. Oh my God, kid, go get help. But yeah, what I adore about the internet is that suddenly you realize that you're not the only freak, and that there's freaks all over the world. There's freaks in Germany. There's the same people in Australia have done the same thing that you've done. You know, that here I get onto the speech thing. The internet bridges the cultures and the age groups, and that's a fantastic thing, is that you can't see the person on the other end, and so they could be of any age, any nationality, any gender. And what is amazing is that you have people out there who are identifying with you.
I'm actually a 16-year-old Spanish woman, so...
Spanish woman?
Yeah.
Hey, hola, ¿cómo está? Oh, Consuela. I only know kitchen Spanish, I'm sorry. Dos platos, por favor. I have pissed off so many people with that one. All of your complaints can be sent to, what's your website again?
The opinions of the interviewee
exactly.
Is not reflect
are
those
not necessarily
yes.
of Comic Timing or any of its affiliates.
Oh, now you pull that one out. I see how it is.
Right.
You knew what you were getting into. Come on.
I knew what I was getting
you
into.
You wanted
in fact,
it.
Come on,
look at that website.
Hey, well, come on. There's a reason why we had you on, because, well, you have a very interesting set of stories to tell.
A set of stories. Stories.
You know,
that's what we're calling them now.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're calling them. Right. Oh, man. So what's up and coming for the world of Jenny Breeden? What should we expect in the near future that we might not quite have now?
I hope sleep. I don't know. What's coming up? Yeah, book three, in theory. Is coming out in comic shops. I'm actually going a bit faster than my publisher can keep up. I finished editing book five. Book six is at the editor right now. I just have to finish that one up. So it should be a 48-page monthly comic that's coming out in your comic shops. You can go and pre-order book nine, even though book three is just about out, which is confusing my mom all to hell. She keeps saying, wait, your website says that 9 is out, but I've been going into the comic shop every day and harassing those boys and those poor boys. My mom is... There's a reason the church calls my mom the Force. Oh, you don't believe my... I'm the normal, sane, quiet one in my family. I'm the boring one in my family. You have no idea.
You have just frightened me beyond belief.
Does your mom have Skype? Maybe we can get her on for an interview next.
Oh, you don't. You think I talk a lot? Oh my God! I'm turning into my mom, but I am the filtered, watered down version of my mother. Oh, I can't keep up with that woman. The future of the Devil's Panties. I got some contacts last convention, and I found a place that can do T-shirts cheaper and smaller press. So I'm going to have more T-shirts coming out. More buttons. I've got the card deck as soon as I finish it. I've got the printer waiting to get that done. So a deck of cards is coming out. As soon as Nigel remembers that I do con artists, he's going to start getting on my back about doing the next con artist. And so whenever he starts bugging me about it, I'll start working on that. But right now I'm staying quiet because I have other things that need to be done. And as soon as we get enough comics out in the comic shops, we'll get a graphic novel of those. We talked to some kids at an animation college about doing a animated short of just the Jenny character running. because more than that there would be more zeros in the cost. And I'd be Poe.
We don't want
but
you Poe.
Isn't a daily update enough for you people?
You would think.
I know. It's an addiction. They want more. And I've done the same thing. I get to the end of the archive of a webcomic I like, and I'm like, damn it, they only post 3 times a week. They have to post more. I want more.
And they've been doing it for 4 years? Oh, my God.
Oh, God. That's always great, too, when you come upon a comic that you know has been running for, like, 4 years, and they put it out, like, 5 days a week, and you go back, and you realize you haven't slept in 3 days, and you're still looking back at
it. I have the cartoon strip in there of the angel, my conscience sitting, whacking me over the back of the head with a piece of plywood saying, go to sleep. And I'm saying, web comic. Just one more. After this click, I'll go to bed.
I did a random.
Just one more and I'll go to bed.
I just clicked random dates in the archive and I actually read that one today.
The web comics one, yeah.
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 And
well, that's like when I first found, oh dear God, when I first found real life comics. Oh, God, I got sucked in way too fast.
I went ahead and bought the book.
I have it too, yeah.
And it's different in print than it is on the computer screen, the monitor. And it's amazing. Yeah. I've got, friends and family and people who aren't into the computer, stuff love the printed stuff because it's a different read. It's really weird. Psychological.
Yeah. Well, we're so used to having it on paper in our hands and still have to get used to reading it on the screen.
Us low-tech people, I walked in at one point to the room, and my boyfriend's got his Palm Pilot, and I'm like, what you doing? He's like, reading a book. I'm like, no, you're not. And he's got, a library of, 1,000 books downloaded into his Palm Pilot, and I'm sitting there going, I can't, my brain doesn't work like that. I can't. It's just
you can see it on that small of a screen and just read about a dozen lines and then click next,
I'll be on a bus on Tuesday going up to Massachusetts watching, the last 4 episodes of Scrubs that I missed and watch
Scrubs.
It's so great. And, the season premiere of Psych, which just came out. I've got that all loaded up into my ZenVision M already. I know that's exactly what I'll be doing for the 4-hour ride because I'll be watching TV.
Yeah, there was a woman in the airport who was talking to her aunt who she was going to. This woman's like 40 years old. And she said, well, yeah, I was just going to watch a couple of movies. The flight's delayed. And she pulls out and a comic artist who actually I think he's working on Ex Machina. Yeah, I'm so bad. I don't know what these guys are working on.
Tony Harris.
I can't remember what his name is. Don't tell him.
Okay.
The guys that come into the comic shop, I don't know what they do. They don't have their they don't have their comic book plastered on their face. So I actually carded Adam Hughes at one point. but he comes in. His son had his son's 2 years old, and he gave him this the size of a novel. And he's watching Little Nemo while his dad is wandering around the comic shop. Yeah, I'm so blown. I'm so low tech. I'm so pencil and paper and book that this blows me away. This newfangled technology you kids got nowadays. I don't know how it works.
Congratulations, Jenny. You're on a podcast.
my second one. I have a web comic. You'd think I would catch up by now.
Oh man. Hey, you'll get there. You'll get there.
I don't want to get there.
Well, that's like my dad. My dad can barely turn on the computer, and my, he's actually afraid. Like, I can see him, hovering over it sometimes. It's like, I want to listen to something, but which button turns it on?
We're afraid that my dad will find the internet.
Oh,
he when we first got a computer, back in the IRC days, we got a computer, and he took the mouse, put it on the ground. He does a lot of sewing. He put the mouse on the ground, started stepping on it, and saying, "How does it work?" He thought that was the pedal, and luckily this is the pack rat type of why buy one when you can buy a Mack truck full of it. This mindset type of gentleman, he found the online stock market. He comes into the kitchen one morning, all dressed out in a suit, and my mom goes, "Who is this man?" Because he's a hippie artist, hermit. He looks like the guy from KFC. he said, he struts in and he said, "I made $50 this morning." And my mom looks at him and said, "Yeah, but how much did you lose?" And he said, "That's not the point."
Yes.
We are terrified he's going to find eBay or, oh my God. Thank goodness he doesn't
press
know.
Any key. Press any key. Where's the any key? My dad would look for the any key. I know that.
Yeah.
He would go straight to my computer and he'd be like, any. Do I have to type A-N-Y? I don't know. What's going on here?
Oh, I've done that. I've done that. So I think I did that today. I went up to Will and said, my phone turned off. How do you turn it back on? He said, the on button is on the side here. And I'd been pressing the red... Yeah.
Yeah, right the red off button. Is
yes,
the on button.
Yes. It has two different... Beautiful. It was the circle with the little line on it. Mm-hmm. I know what the power button looks like. I was just pressing the wrong one.
But you know what? That circle with the little line on it is actually a 1 and a 0 for on and off.
What?
That line and the
but
0.
But it's sideways. The line usually is on the top. I'm going to look at it.
But okay, so then turn the phone to the side.
David, you're hurting.
I realize that, but that is a little bit of trivia.
No, because the line is straight up and down, and so that would... I'm an artist. This isn't working. Will, they're teasing me.
Stop fretting our guests. God
this is not a line with a 0. The 1 and the 0 for
it's
the on...
It's a 1 and a 0.
...on and off button, that's not a 1 with a 0.
Actually, this is episode 11, so episode 10 was last
right.
episode.
See, the boy has disproved you, and he knows all. He makes the internet work.
Yes, the internet is for porn. The internet is for porn.
You'd
man.
Think. I can't find good porn on the internet. There are no hot Asian guy porn sites. Man, yeah. I typed in schoolboy. Oh, that's not what I was looking for.
Oh
my. Okay,
boy.
So it was purely research. Okay.
And
so,
then you had the FBI knock on the door.
Oh, they already had me on the list. I did a search for plane bombing snipers, which I did, you know, was for the Black Friday, what do they call that? The
after Thanksgiving
sale. Yeah. That was all of my research images was I am now on the FBI list. No, but I did a, I can't spell. And I was going to do a cartoon of during Christmas, my brothers get into battles, and they got into a Klingon death match with turkey prongs and the stockings with their tangerine in the end of it. And they were having a Klingon death match. So I wanted to do a cartoon. And I needed to know how to spell Klingon, because I didn't know if it was like an odd Asian fruit in the Middle East or something. So I wanted to make sure that I was spelling the Star Trek Klingon and not the you know, Easter Zimbabwe, you know, foot fetish Klingon. So I went on Google and I typed in Klingon. And so that I knew that I was getting the right kind of Klingon, I clicked on the image search.
Oh
my God. There is Klingon porn on the internet. Worf has never... I mean... What Photoshop can do to that man.
That's it. I've heard everything. That's it. It's official. I now officially know everything at this point.
Do you know what Schmegma is?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, you sick bastard. I learned a
but
new thing.
But you were
going to
tell him if he
to.
Didn't.
No. Well, I'm not going to. The guy that told me, I said, I don't want to know. I've been to
the only reason why I know is because my friends kept talking about it and like saying uh-huh. like oh yeah
you went to help out on the farm, didn't you?
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh,
you kids at home, you don't want to know. You really don't. That oh God.
Comic Timing listeners, don't worry.
Don't ask.
About it.
Don't do an internet search. For the love of God, don't do an internet search.
Never use Google again. That's it.
It burns.
It's off limits, folks.
Do you know how many kids are going to start? How do you spell schmegma?
Schmegma.
It's such a great word, though.
That's going to be the emails you're going to get from our listeners. Could you tell me?
Oh, how yeah.
I have released the floodgates.
That's it. I'm saying it in my radio voice. Schmegma.
I thought it was SH. Schmegma.
Schmegma.
I have disgusted Schmegma. The boy. He's leaving. Oh my! I ran the batteries off on my phone.
And meanwhile, on that note, Jenny, it has been an absolute pleasure. This is going to be our first mature tag on Comic Timing.
Mature what?
A mature tag
mature
for the
for
mature conversation. That's great.
Not 12. 12 years.
Let me end this with one word. Fuck. Thank you very much.
Oh, we can say that? See, I was veering away from that. Fuck.
Oh, of Shit. Course you can. It's a podcast.
Can I say the C word?
Podcast. Yes.
Come to Liam.
So this will be the episode I won't let my father listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, oh, my mom will love this one.
You can say the C word. Cookie.
Cookie. Cookie. Cookie.
Yeah. cookie. Yay.
We'll always love you, little Chrissy, no matter what.
Once again, you can find the Devil's Panties over at devilspanties.keenspot.com. And what other websites do you have? You got a couple others.
Got Geebas on Parade, G-E-E-B. Oh, I'm going to look at the website because I'm phonetic. I don't know how to spell. I'm going to cheat and actually look on my website, Gaming Comic. I hear you clicking away.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Yeah, it's Geebas on Parade. G-E-E-B-A-S-O-N parade.keenspot.com. And we'll link this in the show notes.
Speaking of which, that's the cartoon up right now is, when did you last sleep? Cookie!
It all comes back to the cookie.
It all comes back to the cookie. Oh, cookie. Man. It's always great when you accidentally say something that is really relevant.
I do that all the time.
Oh, man.
The
absolutely
only way it's relevant.
There. Now, you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, and you're going to be at Chicago. Where else are you going
to
be?
See, I had to close out that website to find the cookie. Let's see. I'm San Diego's next weekend. After that is Chicago, Wizard Chicago, and then Dragon Con here in Atlanta. The pirates. Extreme Expo, I'm going to head over to that, and Baltimore Con, and NDK Con. I'm terrified. That's the 15-year-old invited me to that. And SPX. Oh, no, I canceled on SPX. It's got too expensive. And I'm going to Wizard Texas. And next year I'm going to try for Emerald City. And yeah, I've stopped sleeping.
Aw.
Doesn't exist. I'm trying to quit those nasty habits. Eating, too. It's just annoying. It's a horrible addiction.
Well, if you ever want to come back to New York, New York Comic Con, hey, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yes,
I liked it
is,
a
indeed.
Lot.
And I'll see you over at Baltimore Comic Con because I'm going to be there. I got myself a room on the white line, so it's not too far away.
Cool.
And I'll be there a day early to see the Yankees Orioles because there's no way in hell I'm passing up that opportunity.
Is that some sort of sports game?
Yes, baseball actually.
Baseball.
Yes, baseball.
Baseball, huh? I went and saw a soccer game last night. That was fun. Those guys are pretty. Yes, I went to see the soccer game for the long-haired guys with the great legs, and they all
beautiful.
It was hot, and so they were all getting all sweaty and wet. It was fabulous.
Oh, and I want to remind my listeners, by the way, that if anybody is going out to Baltimore Comic Con and needs a room, send an email to comictiming@gmail.com. I'd be more than happy to split the cost.
What was that? Comictiming.
Comictiming@gmail.com.
I might take you up on that.
Woohoo! And also, we have a contest that's currently running, which I believe the termination date is August 8th for that. We might change it, however, because of the whole iTunes debacle that we've been going through the past couple of weeks, especially having it show up on iTunes properly, so there might be some people out there that are like, contest? But we're looking for iTunes art, so if anybody wants to send us a 300x300 picture that we'd be able to put into our iTunes tags, we'd be more than happy to get your submissions, which you can send over to comictiming@gmail.com, and also post it on the forum so that everybody can see, and your prize will be a mini X-Men 3 poster, which is being donated to us by the wonderful, wonderful Wally Wahlbecker, who was on our show a couple of weeks back, so he's more than happy to give us that. And you can vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. The forums over at comicgeekspeak.com/forum. We want to thank Comic Geek Speak for providing the forums for us, as it's great to have the community there. Also, check out Raging Bullets. I want to give them a shout-out one more time here because they joined us for episode 10. Well, at least Sean did for episode 10A and 10B. Raging Bullets has been very kind to us in the past. Check them out over at RagingBullets.com. And once more, check out all of Jenny's stuff over at DevilsPanties.Keenspot.com. And David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Jenny, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure meeting you, Jenny.
Awesome. I'll be seeing you guys around.
You'll see me
most
in Chicago.
Definitely.
I'll hunt you down.
Yep.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcasts.com. You can find all the Comics Podcasts over there. And don't forget to send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. If you want to give us some positive or negative feedback, that's the place to do it. And, of course, through email at comics@gmail.com for the 8th time. And, as always, there's always time for comics.
Yay!
Dinner time.
That was a lot of fun.
I apologize in advance for all the emails about Schmidler.
At least we didn't get into felching. I'm glad for that.
Oh, you had to mention that now. Oh, man. I'd be tempted to put that as a blooper, but now I'm kind of afraid.
Yeah, I would be.